Okay, so welcome to part two of this week one update for December. Okay, so the next homework is, hi Helen, I'm inquiring into my formlessness and what that really means as the story of this person is going through a divorce. In your last response, you suggested to see the story from the place that doesn't blame. It was seen that for both seemingly separate beings, occurrences could never have been other than what they were. Seeming choices could not have been any different. The blame greatly began to dissolve without seeing. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, abiding as that, while meditating on the latest lesson, I was able to write three emails to my soon-to-be ex, one of gratitude for all that she did for us, including calling it quits. Another email inviting her to express any harbored anger, promising it would be received in a loving, peaceful space. And the most recent email expressed an amends for the toll my addictions and behavior took on our marriage. It's wonderful that you can express that, hopefully without blaming yourself as well for that. What was has been based on what we thought was happening and what we thought was true about ourselves in that moment. The emails were written as though they are two, but energetically they were felt as one. Thus grief was felt, cushioned by the gentle peace of the self, and thoughts didn't have as much pull. Because of this, it almost didn't feel like grief, more like a welling of emotional energy. Yeah. And that can be embraced, kind of like you say, in the peace of the one being. Some remnants of an old way of seeing arising when I, you know, just start focusing on this. But I don't have to push that away. I can be that piece of the self and experience whatever comes up from the seeming separate sense of self. Wonderful. As I contemplate the question, where do I end? Read the chapter from Now That You Are Formless and contemplate the verse from the Ashta Bhagavad Gita. There is the knowing that's present, the self knowing it is appearing as this, including all thoughts and emotions of this body mind, even though thoughts and feelings still reflect separation. So we can just see that there's a sense of separation. There's nothing wrong with thoughts and feelings and a sense of being a separate being. It's only when we're firmly convinced that we actually are a separate being that we struggle, isn't it? So you said here, when there is more focus placed on the purity of the self, peace and stillness become more prevalent, but it is impossible to hold the attention there. However, there is also no fear in feeling these deep feelings of grief and loss. Thank you. So yeah, if you're going to recognize that you can experience yourself both of these ways, that you can feel like a separate being, and you can also notice that the spaciousness of your real being, but allow the sense of someone to arise without fighting against that. However that is in that moment, positive or negative emotions, positive or negative experiences, positive or negative thoughts, there's a sense of someone arising based on whatever that sense of someone is focused upon or experiencing. It might be a pleasant or an unpleasant experience, but we'll only suffer if we're trying to pick one or the other of those. So trying to hold your attention on the formlessness all the time, it's just not possible, is it? And eventually you don't need to, when we realize that I can experience myself either way, but I am the same one being underneath. The one means not two. It means not form and formless. It means not form or formless. It means the place before I prefer either one of those, the place before I define myself as either one of those even, and then all that can just arise. Wonderful, wonderful feedback through a difficult time, obviously, but huge, huge strides spiritually being made here in this time. Wonderful. Okay, so next one. In a contemplation of the December homework question, how far do I reach? There is a gentle knowing that I must reach everywhere, the noumenon. It is accompanied with a palpable, relaxing energy in the body, phenomenon, and peace. What follows is pushback from mind, feelings of not trusting myself to know the pattern I've been challenging in contemplation. Good, challenge it, yeah. You see, the pushback from mind and not trusting yourself, that is mind too, isn't it? Noumenon just is. It's not even a question of trust. I'm noticing it or I'm not, one or the other, you know. And critical thoughts that the noumenon is not felt energy because that is a phenomenon known through the senses. Yeah. The noumenon will be a knowing, won't it? It won't be a feeling. It won't be energy. It won't be thoughts. It won't be even be an experience, although it seems like it at first. But it'll be something that is, you just know somehow. You know that you're formless. You can experience that right now. Where am I? What am I? Can't find anything. And that's not an experience. It's not an energy, is it, as you said here? So very, very good. Seeing that you're formless, knowing that you're formless, may have an effect on the body, as you said. A feeling that comes over the body, relaxation and rush of energy sometimes. But those are secondary, aren't they, to the seeing, the knowing, which is even more direct than that. Wonderful. Mind says it's difficult to accept a completely new way of knowing that says all of creation is me. But I know also mind is incapable of this seeing. Yeah. And that there is more to uncover and deepen in experientially through this question. Wonderful, because as I come to see that I don't end, I can't find an ending, can't find an edge to something that isn't a form or a shape. If something is shapeless, by that very essence of that word shapeless, it, as you see it again and again and again, it's going to become clearer and clearer that you must go on forever in all directions from, you know, from everywhere with no reference point at all to say where you are or where you end or where you start. Because we reference it from the body, I go out in all directions from here, but I'll get clearer as you look. And you're right, mind can't get that, and it's not important that mind does. There might always be a sense of confusion when you try to think about your infinite nature, because thinking is never going to know it, is it? It's going to think about it. And that's what you've so wonderfully picked up on here. Wonderful. Yeah. My lived experience. December brought with it an event phenomenon for me that is perhaps my strongest karmic pattern and results in enormous fear and suffering. This time, although it has not been completely without suffering, I have been aware of a quiet sense of peace underlying this situation. Less fear. Perhaps this is grace. I'm greatly appreciative of your feedback and guidance. So, very good that you're seeing a change in the way that this is happening. You're living through this differently when it occurs, when it comes back up again. Maybe some peace in the background and a lessening of the fear. So the sense of fear, it is directly telling you that you feel in that moment that you end, you have an edge, you only reach as far as a separate being, you're only a separate being. Fear comes from this idea that I'm separate to everything else, and that I'm going to come to an end at some point, I'm going to cease to exist. And all fear is about that, really, regardless of what mind is projecting it onto. So in that next moment or in between when it happens, if you can remember, this is just one type of answer where I feel that I do end. I do only reach so far. And if you can remember in that moment, just to soften and ask, is there any other type of answer to this question, how far do I reach? Then you begin to feel the expansiveness is present as the noumenon, even when great fear is here. And you're starting to break through into that already. I'm only saying this to help that happen faster. Where we suffer most in our life, the things that we really don't look forward to coming up, are really only where we still are only perceiving the sense of self, sense of being a separate being, and not naturally noticing that a separate being that appears to be, seems to be, is appearing inside the greater space, the silence, the awareness, the consciousness, the contextual field. So when you feel that fear, when the thing happens again, notice the thoughts and the emotions and the perceptions and the sense of another being or another thing that's threatening you or something like that. Whatever it is that arises, all of that is occurring inside some greater space of your being. And it'll just take the edge off of it. Even if there's intense fear or something, you won't be suffering from that fear because you're not trying to get away from anything in that moment. You're being the space in which all of that turbulent energy is arising in, and it'll be happening inside you rather than to you. And there's a huge experiential difference there. I'm really glad you sent some feedback in, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this deepens. Keep looking at the question and the quotes, and each week, no matter how far you get each week, I'm always going to ask you to go deeper the next week. It's not a sign that anyone's done anything wrong. It's just because there's no end to the wondrous bounty that you can get from this contemplation. And as we go through the coming weeks, you'll see it get even clearer, even deeper. You are making wonderful progress, all of you. And it's just so exciting to watch from my perspective. And just don't push against that someoneness when it arises. Certain situations trigger a strong someone, feeling of being someone, don't they? Just allow that to remind you that that's also appearing inside something greater. So when we feel like this, we can recognize, but it's appearing in this. You know, so that's kind of, that's the reason for having a form and a manifestation. It is so that we can recognize the form through contrast. And then eventually come to just be comfortable in whichever way it's appearing. Right now, I'm not trying to focus on form or formless. I've lost the ability to think that they're different. Therefore, I can't choose or prefer even formlessness. And it's beautiful. I'm just asking you to relax into that. Sometimes you'll be noticing the formlessness more. Sometimes the form, the egoic sense of self. Sometimes the spaciousness. Just relax into both of those. You'll naturally be more aware that who you are fundamentally is the formlessness, and that all the form is arising inside that. Wonderful, wonderful. Lovely. Next, asking the question, where do I end, has been revealing. First, I couldn't find a me to end, just a nothing. Yeah, there isn't a separate being, really, is the sense, isn't it? So when I look for where I end, I won't find anything such as a separate being. It's a sense of being someone that evaporates upon investigation. And I'll notice the nothing that doesn't end. I have carried on with the question with varying results. On a day where things seem to be appearing and having an impact, I ask the question, where do I end? And I also asked, where does the other person begin? There's a good one. There's a really good one. Where do I end and this other person begin? It really begins to get to the crux of the illusion, that, doesn't it? That there's two beings here. This was recognized as a sense of other and the suffering that wanted to surface. There was a recognition that the seeming other being will always seem to be there for me to love. And I don't have to lose the seemingness with a knowing it's all one with no ending or beginning. Wonderful. I love this seemingness now. I love the seemingness of all of this. I love the seemingness of the individual expression here and everywhere it's appearing. And we don't have to get rid of that. That's lovely. It's only when we define ourselves as one or the other, when I'm sure that this separate being is all I am, or when I'm sure that the formlessness is all I am and the seeming separateness is not true. We're trying to get rid of something. And when you stop doing that, it's wonderful and it's peaceful. This led to writing statements and contemplation on the seeming issue, peace and further recognition of self. Always more to see. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's wonderful, isn't it? And we stop trying to get to an end, or you know, to get the right answer. In contemplation, then we begin to enjoy the unfoldingness of the seemingly separate being. I would also like to share how amazing writing statements and contemplation are. I had a situation lately where I wrote statements and contemplated around a difficult situation with a loved one. I then found myself able to speak to him about the situation, and we had a beautiful talk. This led to a delightful outcome for me. I was then informed the loved one had a row with his wife and to enable my chosen outcome. I then looked at this about the guilt I felt and contemplated and was shown that I had what I wanted, which was him able to express what he really wanted. I initially saw the row as a negative, and there was some guilt around it at me causing the row. So again, here's a sense of ending somewhere where I end here and this other being, this loved one starts, and that I can cause something to happen to this other being. You see the sense real strong there. I realized next time the loved one will be able to say with more ease what he wants, and that he is in a loving relationship, and that rows are okay in that. I saw the ego was trying to make me have something other to look at again. I contemplated, was there a me to make this row happen? Where do I end and the loved one begin? Within an hour, I was told there hadn't been a row. The person who had reported the row was misinformed. Immediate answer, see? Wonderful manifestation. Contemplation and statements, wow, instant results. Just recognizing self, capital S, enabling self, capital S, as there is no end to me or beginning of the loved one. There is no loved one, just self shaped like someone to love. How beautiful that is, lovely, isn't it? So you had this perception, and as you held this idea and then really began to question it and did statements on it, because out there, the loved one is a reflection of in here you. They immediately has to change. The manifestation has to change when you begin to question like that. Or when you do the statement process on it, the resistance softens and it changes anyway, as you've seen. And you can see, hopefully, from what you've said here, that the moment I believe, unconsciously, I've gone back with the assumption that I end here and this other being starts there, all this duality and resistance and stickiness in manifestation starts, doesn't it? And then you can just, okay, well, what if that's not true? And immediately it turns around. And a loving relationship, it is really the ground of the self being able to express itself. It's two different opinions, two different viewpoints on what happened or what is happening or what will happen, and that those two seemingly separate viewpoints can merge into a third one that encompasses all of those separate seemingly separate viewpoints to allow it to unfold in an ever higher way. And that's the beauty of a relationship as the one being, where we enjoy the contrast, we enjoy the seeming difference, then we can see, allow that to produce a desire for something even better to arise from that. I love that last sentence. There is no loved one, just self-shaped as someone to love. That's beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so next. Hi, Helen, thank you so much for the GP program. Just checking in on this first week. How far do I reach? I'm very glad to see homework from you as well. Oh, I'm glad to see homework from everyone, but first timers, so to speak, are really, really excited to see people diving in with it. It seems as though every day there's a little bit more of awareness of what's always here. Perfect. That's how it was for me. Just day by day, it got a little clearer and a little clearer and a little clearer and a little more obvious and a little less seemingly hidden and a little bit more, well, it's just always been that way. You know, and it kind of culminates and eventually becomes stunningly obvious that you can't forget. The experience that catches me up is sometimes being a doer of a process or of mind trying to figure it out. I sometimes get the sense of the mystery of it all, the spaciousness, and that it's a myth that I ever made my thinking or a doer directing my thoughts. I remember someone once saying that awakening seems like a lot of slow. What I love about this program, I'm not sure what that means, a lot of slow. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more for me in your next homework. What I love about this program is the dissolving of the ideas of separation naturally with no effort. If you have any comments around this, it'd be great. Thank you. Yeah, so you can embrace the sense of someone doing, someone deciding, can't you? You can embrace that sense that someone writing this homework and someone else reading it and commenting. And all that's fine, isn't it? As long as it's seen that it's not actually the only way I can experience myself. I can also experience that knowingness that I don't really end anywhere. And I am the one sending in the homework and the one replying to it and everything in between. And that's just going to get more day by day. You're just going to be more aware of what's always there in the background, as you said. And we don't have to get rid of our old way of thinking of things, about ourselves. We can just come to see that more and more I just want to include every way that I can experience myself. I can experience myself as a separate being, interacting with other beings. And I can also recognize that knowingness that isn't coming and going. It is everywhere, where I'm unlimited and infinite and formless. And more and more, I just want to enjoy both of those. I don't want to make anything wrong anymore. Can you get a sense of that? I don't want to kind of only be this or only be that, which isn't necessary for a while. But eventually, I don't want to do not this, not this, not that. I want to all of it. Let me see all the ways I can experience myself. Can I enjoy being a human being and being the formless nature of reality too? Why do I have to pick? You know, that was my kind of thing at the end. Like, I want to have my cake and eat. I want all the experiences that are possible. I want to know in the background whenever I look that I am unending and infinite. I mean, I'm seeing that so clearly. There's no more fear ever. And at the same time, enjoy the coming and goingness and the seems to be and the individuality of my expression and interacting with all these seemingly other beings, and that there's something beautiful about that, isn't there? I think I see what you mean about the lot of slow. Yeah, no effort. So contemplation really is no effort, is it? It's just being interested in the question and seeing the answers. It's not really a doing. It's a way of living. It's a developing an open contemplative stance that is your life, that's becoming more and more constant, hopefully, as you've gone through the course and now into the graduate program. And that's what the graduate program is, really, is a way to stimulate this contemplative open inquiry that goes on for, we can go on for the rest of your life if you want to, because it becomes so much more fun than striving. You know, it's so much easier to just, what can I see about my question today? Let me sit with my question today for 5 or 10 minutes or more if you can. And still like that. I'm still the kind of the specific question that I'm asking is kind of gone. There's just like, if you can imagine where the solid separate Helen was, there's just a big question mark. And everything I experience is an answer to that, whether that's a deep and profound knowing about my formless nature, or some insight how to explain something easier to a student, or having a conversation about the football with someone out on the street, you know, passing by, or seeing my family, or whatever it is, that's all answers to the... I've got to ask so many questions, they all just merge into one in this openness of wanting to know and not knowing, embracing not knowing. And that's really what the effortlessness is. Maybe that's what you're referring to. Again, keep looking. Moving into week two, the fruits of your contemplation are going to be even better than week one. It's going to be amazing. Same for everyone. Week two is better than week one, and week three is better than week two, and week four is better than any of the other ones when you stay with the question. And some months we get 5 weeks, which is like, yay. But yeah, so December is quite a short month really in terms of homework because of Christmas, but wonderful. Okay, so we'll take a quick break. We have 4 more left to do, working through those. And we'll be back with part 3.